Jesus for meditation this morning is the gospel reading from Mark chapter 3 that was read a few minutes ago. In today's gospel reading, we encounter a couple different opinions about Jesus. One is a temporary misunderstanding about him. The other is a hard-hearted, outward rejection of him. And what people think about Jesus will also shape what they think about his followers, his disciples. And so today we hear people expressing these same negative views about his disciples and those who bear the name Christian. And we need to be prepared for this. People will say the same kind of stuff about us that they once said about Jesus. But then there's also another statement about Jesus' disciples that we also will hear at the end of our text. And the question for us is this: whose opinion do we put our stock in and pay attention to? The answer makes all the difference in the world. And the first opinion about Jesus comes from his own earthly family. Now, you would think that Jesus' family, stepbrothers or half-brothers and sisters, would be proud of him as he goes around teaching people about the kingdom of God, healing diseases, performing miracles, and the like. "That's our boy," you wouldn't think they would say. But no, instead, as our text said, "Then Jesus went home, and the crowd gathered again so that they could not even eat. And when his family heard of it, they went out to seize him, for they were saying, 'He is out of his mind.'" He is out of his mind. That's Jesus' own family's assessment of him, that he's gone a bit crazy. After all, he's so busy traveling about, teaching the word of God, healing diseases, delivering people from demons, forgiving sins, that he doesn't even have time to eat. Certainly that is not the action of a normal, sane person. "Calm down, Jesus. Take it easy. Think of yourself. Don't go overboard with this religious stuff." And yes, that's what a lot of people today say as well, isn't it? And they were saying it about Jesus back then too. "He is out of his mind." But is he? Or is Jesus in his right mind, and the others are the ones who don't get it, who are out of their minds? And that is certainly the testimony of the Scriptures, that he came to do the will of God, not the will of man. That he had in mind the things of God, not the things of man. Now, quite frankly, man's mindset said, yes, also our mind and our will is to serve ourselves, to look out for number one. But not so, however, with Jesus. "I have come," he said, "that not to be served, but to serve, and to give my life as a ransom for many." And he did so because that and that alone is what it would take to accomplish the mission on which he was sent by his heavenly Father. The mission to redeem sinners. Sinners, yes, like you and like me. To bring them, yes, to bring us into the kingdom of God. And that meant already in his early ministry of bestowing the blessings of the kingdom of God on people by preaching, by teaching, by healing, by casting out demons, by forgiving sin. The very things that he is busy doing here in our text. The very things, yes, that he is still doing for us today. Oh, I'd say that Jesus is in his right mind, very much so. But his family members don't get it, at least not yet. We read elsewhere that his own family did not believe in him. To be sure, after his death and resurrection and ascension, they would come to faith in him. In fact, two of them would become prominent leaders in the early church, James and Jude, the writers of those two New Testament epistles that bear their name. But not yet. At this time, we were still operating with the mindset of the world, and so think Jesus is out of his mind. Now, by extension, if people think this way about Jesus, it's likely that they will think the same way about his followers. And that continues to this day. Maybe you've experienced some of this from your own family members, that you've gone a little overboard with this religious stuff, that you're a bit crazy for spending so much time in church, for throwing away your hard-earned money by giving it to the church, for not being available for family activities on a Sunday morning, for actually wasting time by folding your hands in prayer before you sit down to eat. And people who don't get it will thus say the same thing about you that they said about Jesus. He is out of his mind. She's way too much into this religious stuff. Well, get used to it. It comes with the territory. Remember what the Roman governor by the name of Festus said to the Apostle Paul after Paul shared with him the gospel message of Jesus and him crucified and risen? You are out of your mind, Paul. Your great learning is driving you mad. And if members of Jesus' own family initially thought this way about him, don't expect anything different from times from others, even, yes, perhaps from those in your own earthly family. Now, the second opinion about Jesus that we see here in our text is even more hostile as we read. And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem were saying, he is possessed by Beelzebub, and by the prince of demons, he casts out demons. Which, of course, when you stop to think about it, is a rather ridiculous assertion that any person in their right mind can understand. As Jesus said, how can Satan cast out Satan? If Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but is coming to an end. No, the truth is that Jesus came to plunder Satan's house, to, as we heard in the Old Testament reading, crush the head of that ancient serpent, the devil, to, as St. John writes in his first epistle, destroy the works of the devil, to, as St. Paul says in Colossians, disarm the rulers and authorities and put them in open shame, triumphing over them by his cross. Or likewise, as the writer of Hebrews said, through death, he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. Now, people, however, who don't get it will, however, say the same thing about us that they said about Jesus, that we are of the devil. After all, to call sinners to repentance when our society doesn't really regard anything as a sin anymore, to proclaim that no one comes to the Father except through Jesus, to hold fast to God's word when it comes to such things like abortion or same-sex marriage or medically assisted suicide, is going to result in being regarded as unloving, uncaring, in short, as being evil and of the devil, as enemies of the human race, to use one of the charges leveled by the Roman government against Christians in the first 3 centuries. Well, then get used to it. It comes with the territory. For if Jesus was regarded this way, don't expect anything different from various voices in our nation and society. Now, in spite of these negative evaluations of Jesus and his followers, there is one more opinion, as it were, of Jesus and his followers that we haven't yet considered. And so we read. A crowd was sitting around Jesus, and they said, your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you. And he answered them, who are my mother and my brothers? And looking about at those who sat around him, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother. And that is Jesus' opinion about his followers, the only opinion that counts. And what we should thus pay attention to, what we should hold on to, namely what Jesus himself says about us and to us. And what is he saying? Well, just this. Those people who come to listen to him and his word, who gather together around him at his table, are not only served by him with his forgiveness and his life and his salvation, but also are those of whom he says, yes, says of you, here are my mother and my brother. For whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother. Do you remember what Jesus said when he was guest at the home of those two sisters, Mary and Martha, in Bethany? Martha was busy in the kitchen while Mary was simply sitting at Jesus' feet and listening to his word. And when Martha complained to Jesus about Mary's lack of helping her, Jesus replied, "You are troubled by many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen the better part." The better part, you see, because these are the ones who Jesus called my brother and sister and mother. The better part of simply sitting around Jesus to hear his word and receive his gifts. And you know what Jesus thus says to you and about you as a result? Here are my brother and sister and mother. And I'd say that's a pretty good deal. And quite frankly, I put more stock in what Jesus says than what the world around us might say or think. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.